I was actually thinking about it on the car journey here because, you know, it's hard to always describe someone who, you know, has done such a different thing to pretty much everyone else in the world. When you're trying to describe someone in the corporate world, you can talk about finances, you can talk about, you know, the types of companies they run. But when you're talking about someone who's dedicated almost close to 50 years of their life to, you know, being renowned, to trying to develop qualities that all of us aspire towards, it's really hard to find those words. But what I can say, and this is pretty much an open introduction, is that I can guarantee that with anyone that meets him, with anyone that connects with him, their life is sure to change. By some way or other, your life is sure to change. And I can only promise that from tonight's event, you're only going to get that as well. So if you can welcome him with a round of applause. His name is His Holiness Sethi Nandanswamy.
Good evening to everyone. It is a great pleasure to be here in London and to share something about the journey within, the meditational journey. I'm very, dedicated or committed to somehow share something with you, which is both experiential as well as applicable outside of this room and outside of this evening. So I will meditate with you and give you some guidelines how to do so, with the hope that you can apply these in your life, even in the university, even when you take a bus ride, and so on and so forth. I came here from Belgium, and I remember taking, that before I took my flight from the Brussels airport, I noticed there was a lot of armed presence in the airport. Many soldiers with machine guns, and I came when I needed to visit the bathroom. I came upon a group of soldiers and people who worked at the airport, and they looked at me. I'm always dressed like this, so I guess I stand out a little bit in the crowd, and they said, you look so happy. Maybe asked, what is your secret? And I really wanted to go to the bathroom. It was urgency. It was an urgent call which I had received. I don't know how to express it in polite English. You know, there are times when everything becomes secondary. You just need to go. So it was one of these situations, and I just said, well, I have learned in my life that happiness is not outside. Happiness is something which you need to find inside, and the way to do this is by meditation. So then they said, oh, can you please teach us how to meditate? I said, afterwards, let me first go. So I went and I saw them again. We did a little, I explained something, but I felt the airport is not such a peaceful situation. And I only gave some hints. But I have been thinking since that time about this question, how to find happiness within by meditation. And I acknowledge that just like these armed guards and people in the airport, you also may have a lot of things on your mind, and therefore I need to give something very practical, something applicable to all of you. Now let me start to first give a little theoretical talk on meditation, maybe for 15 to 20 minutes, and then I will do the actual meditation. I think it's important that I give a little fundament so that the meditational experience will go deeper for you. Let me first start by telling you a little story from the wisdom tradition in which I practice my spiritual life. It's the Vedic tradition, the Indian, the ancient Indian spiritual wisdom tradition. The story is about a man who was somehow imprisoned from birth in a little room. In this room there was everything which he required for his daily life. There was food, there was entertainment. Somehow it all came mysteriously for him, but it came. He really felt he didn't lack anything except for one thing. He was not free. Whenever he tried to open the only door to this room and walk into the freedom he so much hankered for, he could see that it remained closed. I must say again, he had everything. Even he had some wellness machines, and he only elect this freedom. So at the fag end of his life, he tried one more time to open that door. He went to the door and said, "Everyone is free except for me." And he tried to open it one more time. And this time, it was very easy to open it. It opened to the inside. In this direction. His whole life he had tried to open the door to the outside, pushing it in this direction. And he thought, but it's so easy. The way to freedom means I have to just open the door to the inside. He was very old, but he walked into his freedom by just knowing the right way. I think this is a very relevant story. All of us in our lives, or most of us in our lives, all of us, we do not know, but most of us try to open the door to the outside. More entertainment, more interesting apps, meeting more interesting people, hearing more exciting music, passing examinations which will hopefully guarantee us a more wealthy future. We always look for our successes by going outside and looking for outside things which enhance our lives. New haircuts, yes, better dresses, exciting ways to paint our faces. How far will we go? to look for things, our fulfillment outside. But the way to our perfection is in finding the door to the inside. I would like to ask you a mind-intriguing question. How much of me do you see? If I'm standing, you see 1.80 meters of me. But there's so much more. My thoughts, my life, my projects which I carry inside of me, which I want to realize. One of it is a life school. Maybe you will hear about it very soon because it's almost finished. In one of the places I like to introduce it will be London. My hopes, my expectations, maybe I said it already, my past, my experiences, I carry so much more inside of me than the 1.80 meters, which you can quickly scan with your eyes and identify as an aging person who starts to grow gray hair. There's so much more about each one of us than what we can see. So much which is hiding behind the outer appearance. A whole world, no, a whole universe of shades, of meanings, of identifications, of experiences. And as we know in this external culture, most people have sold their souls to that 1.80 meters, or I understood you had to find the same height person. Some of you were, I think, 1.62 meters or so small, and others were 1.92 meters. There is so much more to a person than this outer experience. Most important, the spiritual side of us, where the soul is, where God is, and so on. Our body is like a city with 9 gates. This is how the scriptures describe it. 2 gates are here, the eyes. 2 gates through which sensual experiences come here, the nostrils. 2 other gates are here. This is altogether 6 gates. Then there is another gate here. I eat, I speak, things come in this gate and things leave me. And then there are 2 gates underneath the belt. One in front and one in the back. The body is a city of 9 gates where there are constant stimulations coming in, and it has a very special house. It's the heart, and in this heart there is a small room which is as wide as the universe. It's very, 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 everything is in there. Remembrances, people are in there, concepts are in there. London is certainly in that little space. Relationships, everything comes into this little space. And if we can learn to make this space, we access this space, the world inside, ooh, we can find true happiness. Now, I brought an ancient text for you, which I would like to read for you about this space in the heart, which we want to access through meditation. One moment. There's a space in your heart that everything needs. Come there if you want to find me. Mind, soul, God and eternity, all are there. Are you? Enter the space of vastness in the heart. Listen to the song that resonates there. Give yourself to it with abandon. You will find quiet ecstasy and a steady, regal sense of resting in a perfect place. You, who are the embodiment of the highest blessings, once you know the way into the space in the heart, once you know the way within, you will always be called to return. Answer that call again and again and be satisfied with knowing, I belong here. I am at home here. In all meditational techniques, whatever you do, the crucial question, the crucial point is, do you find that a road which goes within, and do you find that sacred space within the heart? When you find it, you will be undisturbed, even within the greatest difficulties. The ups and downs of your life will no longer affect you, because you have found true happiness within. You have come to that place where mind, God, the soul, and eternity reside in that spiritual space within the town, the busy town, the vile little busy town of your precious life. You have found that space within. You will feel so joyful. That's what I told to the people in Brussels. I'm just happy. What can I do? I'm happy because I am more inside. I find my happiness inside. You see, I'm not dressed in expensive clothes. I'm a monk. I have no money except what I need to travel. But I found that place within where all our treasures lie. How can you access that sacred space? Well, one thing is by meditation. Another thing is by good association. When you are with spiritually minded people, all of a sudden, whoop, you feel, I'm in a different space now. Thank you for this conversation. It's that thing I will not forget. It brought me somewhere else. You can come there by reading sacred texts, which begin to touch you in a certain way. And you can reach there by mantra chanting. So, my dear young people, I think that's a nice address. Do you know that I'm scandalously old in my body? I will not tell you because you will faint. But I feel so young because I'm really in that sacred space. It's so joyful, sometimes like a child, but not in a childish way, but in the way that I'm carefree, anxiety free, because it's that space. And I I want to bring you into this country, your own country, your forgotten space, your sacred space, and would like to do a meditation with you on this. Let me first of all ask you, are you awake? Of course you are awake, but sorry, this is a foolish question. I mean, you're alright or you're struggling with tiredness? Otherwise I have an energizing exercise for you. You're silent. My English is not intelligible or... Welcome, you're late. okay, I can understand that you can understand me. This is very important. You're fine or not fine?
Fine.
Fine, good. So I will ask one of us, maybe Nanda Gopa. Are you here, Nanda Gopa Kumaraya? Could you be the Asherah? You know, because of, you know this word, the Asherah?
It's
no. When people advise them, we are welcoming. but when people come in, you indicate to them, we are meditating, please, and you can help them to find a place, maybe here, then they don't need to wait through the ocean of human beings. And you can just help them and so on, because we will meditate now. I have to also see, we will sing a little bit afterwards. Do you have the mantra? We will just prepare the meditation. Yeah. Dina, you are very, very capable. Can you make a photo with your little monster? Mobile phone, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And then maybe type it in, this mantra, and then you can project it for everyone to see. To sing when we come out of the meditation. The essence of meditation is to shift your attention from the 1,000 thoughts which occupy, in some cases, haunt you, and to come into a peaceful position where you are the uninvolved observer of your life. Just like when you see a particular movie, let us say, and there's a scene which you absolutely don't wish, maybe violence or maybe meanness, or for most of us it's violence, you know. You step back when you see this movie. You take on the observer position and you see the violence in terms of tomato ketchup, you know, which is an imitation of blood and so on. This observer position where you are not disturbed by whatever it is that happens in the outside world, it means that you connect to your essential nature as a soul. And I would like to now guide you to this essential, say, nature, the soul, which we can find not outside of us by chasing the things of the world, but we find the soul and our essential nature inside of us. I will now start the meditation. Just, yeah. Good. please look a little bit around in the room, because I will soon ask you to close your eyes. So it helps us to be peaceful when we just see, look at your neighbor. It's a little journey which we will do, a little adventure, so it's good to know who's next to us. Good. Now please sit tall, comfortable position. Place your hands with open palms on your thighs. And just listen to the sound to center yourself. Focus on the present moment, please. You're now here. What happened before you came here is at this moment just a thing of the past. We are not concerned with it during the meditation. Focus a little on the atmosphere. Are there any sounds? By the way, some of you will cough, because the moment we relax, the tension which holds us together goes. So that's all right. Don't feel any. Just arrive in the presence. Sitting in London, in a university hall, and you're just before a spiritual adventure, the adventure of meditation, which will bring you insight, bring you in contact with your essential nature. When you're ready, please close your eyes and relax into the atmosphere. Become aware of your body. For just understanding how the body feels. Do you feel relaxed? Are there maybe any tensions in some of your muscles, like the neck? Do you feel heat in your body, or do you feel cold? Just slightly observe. Don't judge anything. Just try to feel and discover the sensations in your body. Accept your body as it is, and tell yourself, I'm observing my body, I'm watching my body, thus I'm different from my body. I can clearly see the different sensations. My legs, the trunk of my body. I observe it like I observe a building. Now observe your thoughts and feelings. Observe them as if you were watching a movie. If you become aware of a thought, just let it pass without judging or paying attention. Continue to breathe. If you can observe an emotion, simply acknowledge it is there without judging or analyzing. Maybe you feel restless, or you feel a little tense, or there's some sadness within you because something didn't work out the way it would have been ideal for you. Just observe. Continue to focus on your breathing. Breathe in. Breathe out. In and out. And be aware of your breathing. Tell yourself, because I'm observing my thoughts and emotions, I understand that I'm different from my thoughts and emotions. I see them like clouds passing by a mountain. Now focus all your attention again on your breathing. Observe how you inhale and how your belly and your chest rise on an inhale. And observe your exhale. Life is very simple now. Just stay with your breath. You're surrounded by an ocean of air. Whenever you breathe in, you take in air from this ocean. When you breathe out, your chest and your belly sink in a little and you give the air back. Observe, how does it feel as you breathe in and out? Continue to observe your breathing for the next 20 seconds. Please stay focused on each inhale and exhale. If thoughts should arise, that is natural. Simply let them pass and stay with your breath. Now tell yourself, because I'm observing my breathing, I understand that I'm different from my breath. Now, come with me. Focus on your heart area. Bring your attention to that space where the heart is. When you inhale, notice how your heart space expands. And you somehow feel lighter. When you exhale, notice how you become free from any thoughts or feelings. Now, we will add a mantra to this meditation. We will be in our heart area. From that position, chant Om. I will chant the sacred symbol Om one time. Screen.
Yeah.
Essential nature, I'm full of knowledge and bliss. I'm free. I'm full of love. I'm a child of eternity. Let us all do a few deep breaths now. Deep inhales and exhales. dear young people, whatever pleasant and unpleasant situations you will meet, whatever your thoughts or feelings may be as you encounter a wave of life which will bring so much to you, remember that you are different from the body. When you are disturbed or highly romantic in fever, you are different from the mind. These are waves which come and go. Remember, you are the eternal soul within. Meditation is not difficult. You can all do it. Just find a peaceful place, maybe a peaceful minute or so, and just make the journey within. Leave your body behind, leave your thoughts and emotions behind. Don't identify with them, just observe them. And then you can engage in a simple mantra like the one which we just chanted. You can take this home with you, you can make a photo with your mobile phone and then sing it. Very nice. Lead me from the temporary to the eternal. Lead me from the darkness to light, and from death to immortality. What we will do now is we will turn to our neighbor, whoever is there, and share our experience. What went well for us? What did I realize? Where did I find some obstacles? Just share, just reflect it. It will help you, and then give the other person also a chance to say. Maybe we will do this for 5 minutes. I will give you the sign. And afterwards, we will engage in a very powerful mantra meditation. Please now share. It's not easy to come out so meditative. My God, you are so good today. Very nice. Thank you. Very nice, really. I'm impressed. You really gave yourself to the practice, and judging from the atmosphere, it was a silence pregnant with meaning. Does this make sense in English? Silence pregnant with meaning. You know what I want to say? There was things went on for the things moving within you. There are many meditations, visualizations, and different guided meditations. I do a lot of them in my seminars, mantra meditations, and so on. The simplest really is working with your breathing. You know, our minds are occupied with all these 1,000 little things. I heard a person thinks during the day 53,000 thoughts. Most of them are repetitions and nothing new under the sun. And they occupy us, they push us, they move us, they move our moods. A very simple way to become free from the tyranny of these thoughts is to just focus on your breathing, in and exhale. The breathing is something like a bridge which leads from the outside to the inside world. And then there you just stay in that space, and you detach yourself from the physical body and the mind with its emotions and feelings, which are, after all, coverings of your essential nature, coverings of the self or the soul. Now, a very, very easy way to come into this space is mantra meditation. While you do mantra meditation, you focus also your mind on something, and that means you bring it away from all the other things, mainly the tyranny of these repetitive thoughts. You just stay with the mantra, and you don't go anywhere else. I have seen good mantra chanting, that is when those who chanted absorbed themselves in the sound vibration. Did you notice when we chanted Om, there was all of a sudden the sound everywhere, and it was like an ocean of sound, and we felt invited to enter it. I have seen good mantra chanting where the participants really absorb themselves with the mantra, and in some ways their consciousness or their mind became so much pervaded by this mantra that they became one with this sound vibration, which then takes you somewhere, like a tube, the London Tube, which when you enter the tube, whoop, it takes you to Heathrow Airport or wherever you are destined to go. But I've also seen distracted chanting. And people chanted the mantra, and then they gave hellos and I love you. In Italy you do like this. Io amo. And they were not really allowing the mantra to take them. They had not really entered the mantra. I see this, by the way, very much in movements where the devotee, they're the participants in movement, just subscribe to an automatic practice, a mechanic practice, and they're not there. It's seen a lot, but of course you see also very good examples in movements. I would like to invite you now into this most powerful mantra meditation, where we take a main mantra. It's called Maha Mantra. Abhishek will project it for you. I think it's well known in London and well known to those who are coming regularly to this wonderful evenings. But for some of you who are the first time here, it might help to have it on the screen. We will sing this in a call and response fashion. I will sing the lead voice, and then all of us, including me, who will join you, will become the chorus. And by this hearing and chanting, you will more or less breathe yourself alive. Hearing is something like inhaling, absorbing, receiving, and chanting is something like breathing out. So by this hearing and chanting, we will chant ourselves alive, spiritually alive. I want to request you, however, to be very vigilant whenever your mind goes somewhere, like a little dog who runs somewhere, even to the places where really we shouldn't go at this moment, bring it gently back, not with a desperate expression, again, you tricked me, you foolish mind. No, just gently bring it back and stay in the sound vibration. And I believe something will happen to all of us as we do it. At least we are well prepared now by this little exercise we did to do this. Again, I must say it's call and response. That is, I will sing alone one time, and you are receiving or hearing, and then we will respond. And we will make a nice sound vibration.
Thank you. Oh,
from darkness lead me to life. From the temporary lead me to the eternal. From the world of death lead me to immortality. When I came back from that urgent meeting with my mortality in the bathroom of the Brussels airport, I saw the people still talking there, and I said, if you really want to know what I do for meditation, I sing the names of God and I meditate. That means I focus and absorb my entire attention on them. And when you saw me and you stopped me, I thought, maybe you want to shoot me because you have guns. But I was singing inside, and therefore I must have looked so happy to you. I was meditating even in the Brussels airport. I request you to look into these two types of meditation, either silent meditation or mantra meditation. I will conclude by telling you a story. I travel a lot and I have assistants. Who know how to drive a car, or who know how to use computers for the inevitable necessary communications which you need to do when you are giving lectures internationally. And I had one assistant. His name was Gaur Gopal, and we had a very strenuous tour which we had completed. It was starting in Germany, then we went to Slovenia, first Austria, then Slovenia, then all of Italy, down to the south, and then all the way up to Berlin. And I said, we deserve a free day now after this 1 month tour of traveling. And he sat down in a park, and he had been learning from me how to meditate. So he just sat down on a bench, he closed his eyes, then he withdrew his attention and focused just on his breathing. And as he did this, then he went and focused his attention on just observing the body and the thoughts, but not identifying any longer with them. And then he went into the heart space, like you have all done, where the self resides, our essential nature. He felt just so happy and so relieved, the stress of traveling many, many kilometers went away. And then all of a sudden something happened. A sharp pain in his nose. The next was a taste of blood. And he looked and he saw a person. I think you call them in English a bump. Is it a bump?
Bump?
Bump, yes. A drum cut?
Oh, yeah.
A bum. Not a bum. Yes, a bum. He was there in the Bruce Lee position. He had just hit him on the nose. And Gurgubar was... He is a trained martial art person. With one glance, he can just break this pillar. So strong as a martial art person. But he just felt so happy inside. He just had entered his sacred space. And he says, cool down, you know, no need to act foolishly. And all of a sudden, this homeless person his consciousness shifted. He ran away. He left all his possessions. This was in 3 plastic bags. And went to a kiosk. Do we say kiosk? And it's kiosk like. Yeah. And he bought mineral water and he gave this to Gurgubar and said, I'm very sorry. Gurgubar said, why did you do this? I mean, I don't know. I saw you. You were so happy. You were just the most happy person. I thought, I'm the most unhappy person. And I became so envious of you that I wanted to engage you in a brawl, in a fight. I'm really not. I did. This was in the past. You know, you came a few years too late. You could have had it. this is not my name. This is not necessary. It is very foolish and harmful to you and to me also when I give in to aggression. And he told me, and he said, I told him, see, by the simple meditation, you change your consciousness. A few years ago, you would have broken the poor man's nose, and you know, he's just a man struggling with his mind. Why might be harmful to him, and then you also had an influence on him. He became a normal and became a charitable person, you know. So this meditation, my dear people, it's not something wishy-washy and something, oh, this is very impractical. When you do it, I guarantee you that you become a better person, and listen to this, you will influence your environment, including your envious professor, who will give you maybe a better note. Yes, I'm saying something which may be in the keenest of interest in the student mind. You do influence not only your consciousness, it's not just a subjective force. It will influence your environment around you in amazing ways, really amazing ways. And therefore, I highly recommend you this. Of course, you see, I sometimes do this silent meditations, you know, before surgery or anything which might disturb me. But mostly, I have seen, although I know many other silent meditations, that this chanting of the mantra is easier. Why? Because it's the mantra who takes you to another dimension, the spiritual dimension. Whereas in this other form of silent meditation, the mind has to do everything, and sometimes the mind is just not up to it. It's sometimes very disturbed and restless and so on, and cluttered. Cluttered, do we say like this? And so many things are occupying you. So this mantra meditation unclutters the mind, if I can speak a little strongly, and it can bring you to that essential nature of yours. And therefore, I highly recommend you to do this. I know that our talented MC, who did the most amazing icebreaker I've ever seen with you, he is also part of a program called Kirtan London, I believe. You're still with it, and your restless mind has not brought you away from it. Good. This means he's making advancement. There are kirtans all over London where we sing like this, but with very talented singers and musicians, and you might find out where they take place. I think our Ravi can give you an orientation. You can, there's a web page maybe or something, and you can find out and deepen it. I strongly recommend that you let this not be just in one evening, you know. You will most probably take a little home, a little of the atmosphere home with you. But I would strongly suggest you stay with it to enter deeper into meditation, because it needs a little practice, a little exercise. If you just do it one time and then do it on your own, it will not, maybe not be so deep, the experience. Learn to deepen the experience, and I highly recommend this program, Kirtan London. If I may speak in English, some really cool people will come trying to learn your language, and it will be very good. Or stay in contact with this Krishna Sok. It's called Krishna Sok Society, you know, this university program, to learn to deepen this. Good, I will now look at the wristwatch secretly without you seeing it. Oops. I heard we go up till 9 o'clock. We have seven more minutes or something like this. Do you have any questions relating to the subject?
The name of the poem that you read at the beginning?
The name of the poem? Well, it is in the very beginning, about the sacred space. It's called The Sacred Space. If you want, you can just come with your... You have this function in your mobile telephone? Yes. Yeah, all this is for free, you know, spiritual, the spirit is free, you know, like air, it is all for us to participate. The sacred space is from a text of the Chandogya Upanishad. Anyone else?
Just a short question.
Yes, please.
I'm interested in people's personal experiences. How did you find the Krishna consciousness path yourself? What's your beginning?
Mm-hmm. Did I understand correctly? You are interested in people's personal experience. You said personal. Yeah, that is a good... yes, this is a very inspiring. Well, it started for me in all earnestness in London. I was a music lover from an affluent German family, and I appreciated the Rolling Stones of London, wanted to meet them and do things which young people do. I also had another... let me say, another address in London. There was the Radha Krishna Temple, and I had heard that the founder of the Krishna consciousness movement in the West, the spiritual master would come there and hold lectures. In India, of course, this is, there are many temples, it's the ancient spiritual culture, but the one who brought it to the West, I heard he would come. And I was saying, let me do the stony things, the music and the free lifestyle and all. And let me also see a real spiritual teacher, a real spiritual master. And I did both. I had my karmic activities, and then I went to see Srila Prabhupada, as I am now calling him. I must sincerely tell you, there was a moment when he sang a sacred mantra, Jaya Radha Madhava, and where he was overwhelmed with a feeling of deep inner ecstasy. He discontinued singing. He just stayed there like this and became totally silent. And with him, it was in a public program, the whole hall was affected all of a sudden. And also I, who had just been in a different style of life, I felt a type of peace entering into me, which I knew was coming from this, the experience of this master who was sitting there. And I understood afterwards, first it was a little overwhelming experience, I felt very moved and very peaceful, the whole hall felt it, and then afterwards, on some, giving it some reflection, I could see that he had entered something which I now know as the Dahara Akash, the sacred space within, and he had contacted this eternity, these qualities of eternity, bliss, and you know, God consciousness. And I thought, I must learn this. And then I went on a long journey, which took me also to India. And I studied the scriptures, and yes, I wrestled with death in the Himalaya, and I caught a deadly jaundice infection plus malaria, and I knew at that time my life is over. What to do now? I will die. And I took shelter in this chanting this mantra, which we have chanted in the end, the Hare Krishna mantra. I only did this. I could also not do anything else. And all of a sudden I was in that space again by chanting this mantra. The space where I had been led into in London when I met Srila Prabhupada, my master. Then I knew, oh, this is profound. And then I became very interested in entering the sacred space through the mantra. Now I'm giving retreats and seminars, and sometimes I'm invited to host events where up to 5,000, 10,000 people sing and chant it. And then I have become very convinced that, wow, they all experience this. And I like to now share this with everyone, this precious gift, which helped me to, I believe strongly, to overcome physical death. I mean, I'm don't worry, I have a lot to die. My favorite. At that time, you know, I knew it came from the mantra, from contacting this spiritual source inside, this never-ending source. Is a source like a spring well inside from which all this spiritual energy comes.
Yes. Yeah, if we have one day time, we can sit down and I can tell you my journey. It was quite many things happened. It will take days. There are a few interesting tigers and experiences in Indian jungles and meditation and so on. Yes.
Is the sacred space the same in everybody?
Yes. And by the way, it is there in all traditions. It's universal. There's not something sectarian. We all are spiritual beings having a human experience at the moment. And most of the time, when we don't know to contact our spiritual self, we only know of the human experience. But if we learn the way inside into this sacred space where the soul is and where God is, then we can have a deep experience of our spiritual essence, our spiritual self. Yes, it's there in really all genuine spiritual traditions. In Christianity, they speak about this, the sacred space within. Yoga traditions speak of it as the yoga zone. Psychology speaks about it in these terms: between an impulse and our reaction to it lies a gap, and within this gap there's all of our freedom. In other words, something happens to you, and when you don't know about spiritual things, you just react immediately, click, like this, like a, sorry for the analogy, a chicken. You throw him, you throw a, what is it, a corn to him, and he immediately jumps at it. The gap is almost not existing. But someone who gets spiritual maturity widens the gap between an impulse and a reaction to it and does what is wise. This is a psychological definition of the sacred space, where a person goes inside of him and contemplates what's the best thing to do. And from that observer position, that inside position, he chooses wise activities. So yes, the sacred space is there within everyone. Is if it's the same within everyone, well, we are individuals, but it's, you know, the experience of meeting the self, the individual self, and meeting God, and that means making a relationship, is entirely individual, but it's an individual spiritual experience in that sacred space, if you so want. Thank you. By the way, because you were sitting right in front, little in front of me, not absolutely in front, you were most in front of me, but you were just, I could see how you were chanting it. I could really see that you were really absorbed. Congratulations, you did something this evening, which was good. Good.
Sorry, guys.
Yes, please.
You mentioned that spirituality makes you a better person. Can you talk about that? How?
Mm-hmm.
The
You will have to forgive me. I know many English vocabulary words, but it's just you. The English people have a certain accent, which and mine is so different. I could not clearly understand. Could you please? I couldn't understand the first part of what you said, please.
So you mentioned that spirituality makes you a better person.
Yes.
So can you
comment on this?
How
yeah. See, we really have two sides in us. A more materially oriented side, a more selfish side, and a more spiritually oriented side, which is selfless, which is compassionate, and so on. So depending which side in us is stronger, we will either take to more material qualities or to more spiritual qualities. And the best way to understand it is with a simple analogy, which one Swami once told me, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He said, Sachinandan Swami, in your heart there are two dogs fighting. Which one will win? So, you know, these are the enigmatic Swamis who asked you, said, two dogs fighting in my heart, which one will win? I don't know. And he said, think a little bit, you're from Germany, you're supposed to be a philosopher. I said, not with such questions. Could you please give the answer? And then he gave the answer. He said, that dog will win whom you give food. And it was clear to me after he had said what he meant. There's a materialistic side. You know, there's lust, there's anger, there's sometimes greed, there's enviousness, there's ambition. You know, all these things which we consider a little bit more on the dark side of our personality. And then there are these spiritual qualities which are residing in that space where the soul is, where the self is, where our essential nature is. So when you nourish your spiritual side, your spiritual self, when you give food to it, by meditation, by chanting, by a spiritual practice which you do, that will become stronger and it will become victorious. So that, like in this example of my assistant Gopal, you know, this person was a martial art person. I once saw a movie of him. He knew all these mean things, like, you know, really mixed martial arts. It's deadly. He was a killer. And now he was there meditating. This person was, you know, drawing blood from his nose. And he just, you know, he just noticed it and he said, what a poor man struggling with his mind. Something must have gone wrong. You know, why should I pay back with the same coin of aggression? And this is an example how by nourishing one's spiritual side, you become a better person, really. And he didn't make an apple puree out of this person. But he was genuinely kind and helpful. And really, on a very practical level, I'm practicing, Ravi introduced me, and it's a fact, I'm becoming an old man now. I'm almost practice since 50 years, and I have seen some profound changes in my personality, which I think are nice. I'm not a perfect person. I have also my weak moments of doubt and fear, or of, you know, anxiety. For instance, in India, I'm now building a project, and oh, India, the India factor. Everything you think goes right, and then the most unexpected thing happens, you know, where you are cheated, you can only say, India, sweet India, what are you doing to me? This is just so. I also feel like sometimes it gets on the nerves and so on. But becomes more and more, it becomes less, and I find it really that it works. It works. It cleans the heart, cleanses the mirror of the heart. And something real is going on, not just some imagination, but something substantial. And it has all to do with these two sides in us. And if we nourish our spiritual side, that will become stronger, and it means the spiritual qualities will be victorious over the impulses, the material, the impulses born from the mind and the senses, which are usually self-centered. I can only say it really works. Please test it for yourself. And once again, it's very much on my mind and on my heart to do this. It has nothing to do with anything, like this is so specific. It's like one path. It just separates me from everything else. No, it is about universal spiritual principles. That's very important. They are as real as your inhaling breath and your outgoing breath. It's you may not see your breath, but it's nevertheless there and nourishes you. All right. Thank you very much. And thank you all very much. I should really express my appreciation and a loud applause to you, but it looks so good, should I applaud you? you really are a wonderful group. I always enter universities with some feeling of anything could happen, because sometimes people are so restless and so frustrated with their studies and so on. And they cannot sit down very easily to meditate. But oh my God, you were really good. I was thinking, is it true they make such a good sound vibration, these students? Please continue. Good. We will end here. You will most probably give them some announcement. Please tell also where they can check out this kit and learn it. I saw some real good singers here, or meditators here.
So I think it's only fitting that, because there are so many of us, and me personally as well, I feel so much gratitude for what he's given tonight, that we show Sachinanda Maharaj one more loud round of applause. So